Welcome to another episode of South Asian Chat, brought to you by the Institute of South Asian Studies at the National University of Singapore. We have today a very interesting episode as we have two very distinguished gentlemen with us today, Mr. Vinod Rai, Distinguished Visiting Research Fellow at ISAS and the former Comptroller and Auditor General of India, as well as Dr. S. Narayan, the Visiting Senior Research Fellow at ISAS and formerly Economic Advisor to the Prime Minister of India. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, there's been much furor in the last day or two in India over the government's appropriation of a portion of the RBI's reserves. Exactly how much are we talking about here, and is this move out of the blue? Dr. Narayan, perhaps you shed light on this?
The amount they are talking about is 1.76 lakh crores, which is about 1.76 trillion rupees.
I see.
That's the amount they are talking about. And it is in two parts. One part is what is called the equity reserves of the Reserve Bank, and the other part is what they have earned during the last year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is this move out of the blue?
No. The issue of sharing the RBI money with the government has been in the air for over a year now. And the RBI had set up a committee headed by a former Reserve Bank governor, Mr. Dr. Bimal Jalan, a very highly respected person in the Reserve Bank as well as academic circles. And the committee's report was available to the government only last week. And so this has been an event in the making for quite some time.
I see. Mr. Rai, some have said in the Indian media and even some of the politicians, I think the Hindu ran an editorial as well on this, that this is unethical and immoral. After all, the government does own the RBI. So is this justified? Is it unethical and immoral?
Just because the government owns the RBI, it would be very incorrect to say that the government can appropriate all the earnings or the resources that are available with the RBI.
Mm-hmm.
Whilst I would certainly not call it unethical, it is definitely an unconventional way of taking resources from the RBI, from any central bank. The government has been getting substantial dividends from the RBI, and it is on a year-to-year basis. But the very fact that it was commonly believed that the RBI was retaining surpluses which were far in excess of what was their requirement as an economic capital led the government to set up this committee.
Sure.
And this committee has given its recommendations, and it's a part of the acceptance of the committee's recommendations that the government have decided to appropriate, with the RBI board agreeing to make that amount available to the government.
I see. Dr. Narayan, what are your thoughts on that?
I saw that piece in the media, and the argument of the unethical, I mean, within inverted commas, is talking about intergenerational equity.
Yes.
And the fact that this equity is meant for future generation. I think that is absolutely absurd, because if that argument is taken to the logical conclusion, then no company or no corporate can part with its retained earning, even as dividend, because you can always say it's for the future. So I don't think that is a very sound intellectual or a valid argument there. But going back to the sharing, unconventional, certainly yes, totally agree with Mr. Rai. But one must also look at it from a very technical point of view,
mm-hmm.
These are earnings of the Reserve Bank done out of operations on behalf of the central government as part of the execution of monetary policy and the consequences of the monetary policy within the financial sector.
Yes.
So these earnings are, if you look at RBI as a corporate and not as a separate institutions,
mm-hmm.
these are earnings of that corporate. And the government of India could well say that over and beyond what you can use in terms of your risk provisioning or in your future requirements, why didn't you share it with us? That is the government of India's argument.
It's akin to dividends to stakeholders.
It's akin to dividends, yeah. Except that nowhere in the world the RBI shares dividends with the government, because again, there's a technical issue,
mm-hmm.
because RBI is making money out of government bonds and documents. So in a way, giving dividends is reducing government debt, and it is equivalent to monetizing of that debt.
That's true.
Which central banks do not do. It's
yes.
actually equal to providing liquidity to reduce debt without mm-hmm. actually providing the liquidity.
It is. That's definitely a good point there. Now, we've done the what and the how. Now, the why. Why do you think, what do you think the government is going to do with this money? And is it justified, Mr. Rai?
See, justification of taking the money, we've discussed about it.
Yes.
The issue is that this money was available as reserves with the central bank. Now, to that extent, it was a security. Now, in the larger economic or macroeconomic framework, it was sitting as a collateral somewhere. Now, if the government, once it has taken these funds and the government is able to plow it into the economy in a productive manner, which means either to recapitalize banks, which will be able to generate credit availability factors, to provide it into infrastructure creation, or to plow it back into other sectors like housing, real estate, etc., I think it will provide that kickstart which the economy requires, that stimulus which the economy requires today. So even if we were to say that the move is unconventional, as I said earlier, to the extent that these monies can be utilized by the government to provide that much needed stimulus to the economy, I think it will go a long way into regenerating economic activity, a fillip which the economy very much requires today.
Any specific development initiatives that the government might look at?
Yeah, number one, the government has announced a recapitalization of the public sector banks.
Mm-hmm.
This money could be utilized for that. That's
right.
Number one. Number two, the government has announced a huge amount of funds that they require to raise for building infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, physical infrastructure is something which immediately leads to providing employment opportunities, requiring cement, steel, etc. So, issues which does stimulate manufacturing activity in lots of other sectors. So I think these two sectors, with another sector which is textiles.
Mm-hmm.
Textiles is another sector which provides a huge amount of employment opportunity.
Right.
Now, if these funds can be deployed in that sector to regenerate economic activity, to regenerate productive or manufacturing activity, it will definitely be putting it to good use.
Some suggestions also state that some money might be used to develop Jammu and Kashmir. Do you think that's possible?
Jammu and Kashmir definitely requires a lot of economic activity to generate employment opportunities for the public there. So to the extent that they can use it for building roads, for building bridges, for building schools, I think it will go a long way into bringing about a political solution to whatever has happened in Jammu and Kashmir in the recent past.
Indeed. Dr. Narayan, what are your thoughts? You think the money?
Totally agree that the way in which this money is seen to be used is very important. Long ago, for example, the government set up a cess on petrol and diesel of a small amount, and they specifically earmarked it to building of roads. So I think that cess was popular. People did not mind paying extra for
yes.
the petrol.
Yes.
Because they could see that the roads were getting built. So if they could allocate similarly this money, as you said, for Jammu and Kashmir, for other infrastructure development activities, for improving the banks, and say this is, if they even came out with a statement that this is primarily for that purpose, I think it would be very, very welcome.
So, Dr. Ryan, for a layman like me, please help me understand, wouldn't infrastructure bonds be more effective in that sense, or is such a move?
The point is, more bonds are another debt.
Okay? Right.
And this, what you're getting is not debt. It's your own money you're
That's
getting,
right.
your earnings back.
That's right.
So, much better to get equity, which you don't have to service, I mean.
I see.
Rather than to get debt.
Okay.
So, creating further debt, I think it's always a matter of concern.
So all in all, would you both rate it as a sound economic move overall?
We would. I go back to Vinod's word. It's an unconventional move.
Mm.
The soundness of the move would come again, as Vinod says, on the use.
Yes.
On the downstream. If they use it for just for revenue expenditure, then I would call it unsound. If they use it for development expenditure, I would call it sound.
See, this kind of a move cannot. It comes once in a lifetime.
Yes.
You cannot keep doing it year on year. So considering the fact that they do it once in 20 years, once in 30 years, and utilize the funds for any productive expenditure, I think it will turn out to be a sound move. And to that extent, what Dr. Narayan said, that if the government announces immediately that the funds will be put to the following X, Y, Z purposes, I think it will build up a very healthy sentiment in the economy right away.
I see. Well, I think, the last couple of months we've seen that the new term under the Modi government is not shying away from unconventional moves. And I think much will be seen whether these bold moves pay dividends going forward. Thank you both for joining us today. Really appreciated this discussion and your thoughts on this issue. Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this session on the RBI's funds being used by the Indian government for future economic purposes. Please tune in again for our next session of South Asia Chat. Thank you and have a good week ahead.